Public Radio KMXT is supported by a grant from North Pacific Fuel, serving and continuing the tradition of excellent service to the community at three locations: Marine Dock at 715 Shelikoff Street, Gas & Go at the Y, and Gas & Go at Mill Bay.
This is KMXT Kodiak 100.1 FM, streaming live on the web at kmxt.org. My name is Jared, and I'll be bringing you the Midday Report. Coming up after the NPR national headlines, right now in Kodiak it's 55 degrees. We've got a 30% chance of rain. Skies are going to remain pretty overcast, but the weather is going to look a little bit better tomorrow. We'll get more details on the weather when we get to the Island Messenger. Let's take a look at the weekly fish reports. Sockeye are still coming into both Buskin and Litnick, and these runs should be tapering off soon, but with a late start, fishing has been reported to be pretty decent. Over in Passagshack, they're off to a good start for the sockeye run, it looks like, though fishing could be a little spotty depending on the tides and conditions. Saltery has seen very slow weir counts, but there are fish building in the river and the bay. The water is pretty low, so that makes fishing tricky, but look for fishing to pick up with the next rain. Stocked Kings runs are pretty non-existent, it looks like. Just a couple of fish have been seen with almost no catches reported. That's in the rivers, Saloni, American, and Olds. Here are the headlines coming up on the Midday Report: a record weekend for positive COVID-19 cases in Alaska and Kodiak, which saw more than five COVID cases over the weekend. Coast Guard rescue near Prince of Wales Island, and the Sea Life Center in Seward is in danger of closing if its funding needs aren't met. These headlines and more coming up on the Midday Report after national news from NPR.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. After spending months as the epicenter of the U.S. outbreak, New York is now reporting zero fatalities from COVID-19, and Governor Andrew Cuomo wants to keep it that way as he raises concerns about protecting New Yorkers.
Now, New York's problem is we have the infection coming from other states back to New York. We're worried about our infection rate going up. Because of people coming from other states where the infection rate is higher.
He says schools will reopen in the fall in places where the virus is under control. Meanwhile, Republican Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida is under growing pressure to reconsider reopenings. Florida confirms more than 12,000 new cases today following a record-breaking weekend. California is buckling down again to reverse the tide of soaring coronavirus cases in that state. Under Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom's order, gyms, salons, bars, churches, and many other places where people tend to congregate will be closed. Indoor dining's also off limits. Los Angeles and San Diego schools will resume classes next month online only. In other news, a federal judge has instructed the government to provide more information about President Trump's commutation of Roger Stone's prison sentence. Here's NPR's Ryan Lucas.
U.S. District Court Judge Amy Berman Jackson wants a copy of the executive order that commuted Stone's sentence. She also wants to know whether the commutation covers Stone's prison sentence alone or whether it extends to his 2 years of probation as well. Jackson is the presiding judge in Stone's case. She sentenced him to more than 3 years in prison after he was convicted by a jury in November of lying to Congress, obstruction, and witness tampering. The case against Stone was brought by special counsel Robert Mueller as part of the investigation into Russian election interference. Judge Jackson is giving the government until Tuesday to provide the required information. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
Latinos have been driving the growth of the population in the United States over the past decade. NPR's Hansi Lo Wang reports on new analysis of population estimates.
The Pew Research Center analyzed the latest population estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau. Pew's findings suggest that Latinos made up more than half of the bump up in the U.S. population. That number has gone up by almost 19 million people since 2010, according to the estimates. The estimates also suggest the Latinx population is growing fastest in places with fewer than 100,000 Latino residents, including Washington, D.C., New Hampshire, Montana, South Dakota, and North Dakota. That state may have seen as high an increase as 129%. The Census Bureau is expected to release data from the 2020 census next year. Hansi Lo Wang, NPR News, New York.
Washington's declaring it does not recognize Beijing's claims in the South China Sea, further escalating tensions between both countries. The Trump administration says it's siding with a maritime tribunal's 2016 ruling that China's maritime claims have no basis in international law. This is NPR.
NPR News es presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
Out of 15 cases of COVID-19 detected in Kodiak this year, a third of them were detected in the last few days, one on Thursday, two on Friday, and one more on Saturday. Elsa Dehart, a public health nurse working to prevent the spread of the virus in Kodiak, says the spike in cases in this region is likely connected to the increase in COVID numbers statewide, which saw a record number of new cases over the weekend.
Our wave has been slow in coming, but it sounds like it's coming now. We all just need to be careful and wear our masks and try and practice our physical distancing and stay home as much as we can, and that's the only ways we're going to be able to knock this down.
Dehart says in the early stages of the pandemic, it was easier to track the spread of the virus because cases were related to each other. But now the region is beginning to see cases with no apparent connection.
We know it's in Kodiak here. We just don't know where. The more and more cases we get across the state and the country, harder and harder it's going to be able to isolate those cases.
The two most recent cases were reported on Saturday. Health officials believe case number 14 is a resident travel case, while case number 15 is community spread, and they say more details are pending. Case number 13, which was reported on Friday, is now known to be a non-resident community spread case, a close contact of a person who previously tested positive. Since Thursday, there have been 5 new cases. Dehart says these recent developments makes vigilance even more important than ever, especially for people who have traveled and those who come in contact with them. Dehart says when it comes down to it, the best way to take care of the community is to mask up, keep our distance, and wash our hands a lot. State health officials on Monday, that's today, are reporting 71 new COVID-19 infections, 60 Alaskans and 11 non-residents, majority of those in the Anchorage area. The number of deaths has not changed. It's still 17. The number of hospitalizations has increased by one. The total number of non-resident cases since the state began tracking is now 306, but we're unclear on how many of those have recovered. The total number of COVID-19 cases among Alaskans since March is now at 1,539, with 900 active cases. At 5 o'clock later today, Governor Dunleavy and Alaska public health officials will have a press conference to discuss how the outbreak and its impacts are evolving. Kodiak has seen a spike in the COVID-19 cases since last Thursday. City leaders and health experts worry that people don't take the threat seriously and are tired of hearing about prevention. So, to generate some interest, they held a contest for kids. To win a bike, they had to find all the banners around town with prevention messages. Not exactly a treasure hunt, but similar, in that your health is more valuable than gold. Rhonda McBride tells us that message was driven home on Friday when the prizes were awarded.
They stood at the Kodiak Boat Harbor, the 5 kids who won the banner hunt. 5 kids, but only 4 bikes, awarded one by one until only one boy was left, and he looked a little worried. But that was what City Manager Mike Twenge wanted.
The excitement of this whole ordeal was having 4 bicycles available, 5 winners. Where's that 5th bicycle?
Then literally out of the blue, a thundering sound. Everyone looked up to see a Coast Guard helicopter headed towards them. When it landed, a stunned Riley Otto was brought to the chopper to get his bicycle.
It was confusing, really windy, and it was exciting. Just really, really exciting.
Riley and other kids, as they tracked down the banners, brought the message back to their parents. Parents like Stephanie Condro.
They talk about wearing masks and washing hands and remind me, really, you know, we have to stay 6 feet apart.
We get so tired of hearing about, you know, another case that this kind of gives us a break from that.
Pat Branson, the mayor of Kodiak, says it's important to keep the message fresh so the community will stay vigilant. And even though the helicopter that delivered the last bicycle left the harbor, the coronavirus is likely to be a threat for a long time. In Kodiak, I'm Rhonda McBride.
Thank you, Rhonda. 4 people are safe after a Coast Guard helicopter rescued a 59-year-old Washington State man who appeared to be suffering from hypothermia while paddling on Prince of Wales Island on Friday. That's according to Alaska State Troopers. Authorities got a distress call at about 10 a.m. from a party of 2 adults and 2 children. One of the adults, later identified as Steve Moyer, was dangerously cold as the group paddled the Honker Divide canoe route on the Thorn River. A Juneau-based Coast Guard helicopter plucked Moyer from the scene and flew him to Ketchikan for treatment. Search and rescue volunteers and the Thorn Bay Village Public Safety Officer located the remaining three paddlers and guided them down the remainder of the route. The Honker Divide canoe route is a 30-mile paddling trail popular with anglers on Prince of Wales Island. The U.S. Force describes it as, quote, a challenging paddle. The Alaska Sea Life Center in Seward is in trouble. President Tara Reamer says the aquarium and marine research facility may have to close permanently and find new homes for its resident animals if it can't make up for lost visitor revenues.
We are in a really challenging financial position right now and have realized that we need to raise $2 million before we get to the winter so that we're able to make it through the winter.
The center received $1 million in Paycheck Protection Program funds designed to keep businesses operating during the pandemic. Reamer says that was the maximum the center qualified for, and most of it has gone to payroll as Congress intended. But she says the Sea Life Center has huge fixed costs every month beyond what it pays employees.
Most of our expenses go into maintaining our animals, maintaining our building, keeping the water running, and feeding and caring for the animals that are here year-round.
Reamer says that the Sea Life Center is asking the City of Seward and the Kenai Peninsula Borough for help. They are also encouraging more in-state visitors this summer. She says they'll make a decision October 1st about whether they can keep operating. The state has reported that 17 Alaskans have died with COVID-19, but some of those Alaskans haven't been in the state. In fact, the first reported death was a man from Petersburg who died in a Seattle hospital. In late June, the state reported that its 13th and 14th deaths were Juneau residents. One died in Washington and the other in New Jersey. But as Rasha McChesney from KTOO in Juneau reports, the person in New Jersey may not be an Alaskan after all.
Marcella Livmond was a 69-year-old woman from Freehold, New Jersey. She died in May. She was living in a long-term nursing facility where she had contracted COVID-19. She was not a Juneau resident.
She's never lived here, ever. She visited one time.
That's Juneau resident Colleen Torrance. Torrance is Livmond's niece. She's also the woman's power of attorney.
And so her mailing address was in Juneau. And when she passed, the funeral director... it's a New York funeral director working with a New Jersey funeral director. So something got lost in the translation between residence and mailing addresses.
When Torrance got her aunt's death certificate, it had her Juneau address on it and not her aunt's New Jersey address. Torrance says she got the death certificate a few weeks ago and has been working to correct the error ever since.
It just is an act of Congress, basically, to have that happen. So it's taking, like, 4 weeks, you know, easily. Like, the form is just now hopefully going to be submitted by the funeral directors as a data entry error.
But Torrance suspects that data entry error has had widespread implications. Torrance thinks Livman's death was reported as an Alaska resident dying out of state. In late June, state health officials reported that two Juneau residents had died while out of state. Now, the state's Department of Health and Social Services won't directly confirm that Torrance's case is linked to the Juneau death that it previously reported. And Torrance says there is a possibility, however slight, that the data error she's dealing with is not the same case that the state reported.
Granted, I could be putting two and two together and getting five, but it seems really odd and very rare that a Juneau resident would have died in early May in a long-term facility that, you know, would have been linked to, you know, any Juneau resident. So it's probably my aunt.
Alaska hasn't reported as many COVID-19 related deaths as other states. It currently stands at 17. More than 15,000 people from New Jersey have died. But Torrance says the error is important to correct because so many people are following the COVID-19 numbers closely. This state is like one big small town, and people want to know who from their community has died.
I knew it being a small town, like I say, when Juneau, you know, when it flies out there, you know, with 31,000 residents or however many we have these days, people are definitely wanting to know.
And there are also other consequences. Torrance says she's the executor of her aunt's estate. And when she saw the error on the death certificate, she suspected it might be problematic because the court in New Jersey might not recognize her aunt as a resident anymore.
That would have produced a really big issue, and in fact, it has. So my prediction was accurate.
So she contacted the state of Alaska and New Jersey, and she's waiting on both of them to get the error fixed. For now, Torrance says she's done everything she can. In Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
A Juneau Superior Court judge denied a request to temporarily block changes to the state's small businesses relief grants. Judge Philip Pallenberg found that Juneau resident Eric Forer failed to meet the standard required for the judge to issue an injunction. The state's $290 million program is called Alaska Cares and is funded by the Federal CARES Act. The original state plan for the program said businesses that received other federal aid weren't eligible. The legislature approved that plan. Then the state expanded eligibility for that program by allowing businesses that had received less than $5,000 from two other federal relief programs to receive grants. Forer is pursuing a lawsuit against the state, arguing that the process it's using to spend CARES Act money isn't constitutional. Forer says in court filings that there should be an injunction because the change in grant eligibility hadn't been approved by the legislature. But Pallenberg found Forer hadn't shown that he would be harmed by having the program change remain in place. And one more, let's see. The University of Alaska Board of Regents has chosen five finalists for the job of interim president at the state's public university system. The interim president will lead the UA system while regents search for someone to permanently fill the job after Jim Johnson suddenly resigned from the position last month. The candidates are Pat Pitney, the director of the Division of Legislative Finance, Michelle Rizik, who is currently the acting UA president, University of Alaska Anchorage Chancellor Kathy Sandine, University of Alaska Fairbanks Chancellor Dan White, and Dana Thomas, a former UAF interim chancellor and former UA administrator. Regents say they expect to name the interim chancellor tomorrow after interviews. All right, coming up, we got Fish Radio.
KMXT Local News is underwritten in part by
GCI. GCI has adjusted store hours across the state to keep our customers and employees as safe as possible during this time. The most up-to-date store hours are available on GCI.com.
And by Ardinger's Fine Furnishings, proud to offer a variety of sofas and love seats made in Oregon by Stanton, as well as massage and zero-gravity chairs by Human Touch. Find the fabric and style that fits your lifestyle in the store or by special order. Also featuring inviting rugs, lamps, and accessories for your home at Ardinger's, 486-5554.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Quarantine cuisine in the time of COVID. More on an Alaska pollock push after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute provides digital and print marketing materials to the Alaska seafood industry. Find thousands of stunning photos, high-quality video footage, and sales tools at alaskaseafood.org.
It used to be that Americans ate more than 60% of their seafood at restaurants, but the COVID virus has changed all that.
I think we're in unprecedented times here, being honest. Everyone is at home and they're finding themselves having to cook breakfast, lunch, and dinner for themselves, but also for their family.
Emily Metz is a strategy consultant with Genuine Alaska Pollock Producers, the marketing arm of the Alaska industry.
What we really needed to do as an industry is figure out how can we help consumers that are facing these unprecedented challenges with some new recipes and some new inspiration for their COVID cooking.
Gap has partnered with the famous Seattle Chef in the Hat and a video blogger to show families how easy it is to take their culinary skills up a notch with fish dishes using their own pantry items.
We're trying to remind people that they can introduce wild Alaska pollock in a variety of forms, from fish sticks to fillets to even surimi seafood, into their diets right now. And once they try us, we know they'll love us.
The shift to eating fish at home, Metz says, can be a boost to the industry.
Obviously, in this whole crisis, there is a bright spot in retail in that more people are cooking at home because they're frankly forced to, and they're looking to introduce some new proteins to their diet. And I think it's a great time for wild Alaska pollock to be out there and to remind people that seafood is an amazingly healthy protein.
Along with making America's home cooks more fish-friendly, Metz says Gap also is planning on ways to help its restaurant and food service partners recover rapidly from the COVID crisis. Find links at alaskafishradio.com and at #QuarantineCuisine on Twitter. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
All right, no community or personal messages right now, so let's jump back into the weather. Right now in Kodiak, 56 degrees. It's kind of fair out there. There's some overcast, some rain showers every now and then. We'll get up to, 56. That's going to be our high today. Winds from the north-northeast at 15 to 25 miles per hour with a 40% chance of rain throughout the day. Tonight, the clouds are going to taper off a little bit. We'll have a few clouds, 10% chance of rain with a low of 52. Winds from the north-northwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. And tomorrow, sun's coming back out. We're going to get up to 65 tomorrow. It's going to be a beautiful day. Winds northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour with a slight chance of rain. Over in Homer, if you're heading up to the mainland, I think the Testamina just made it back in. It's also 56 degrees, 40% chance of rain. Winds light and variable, but they might shoot on up to 62 for their high. Tonight in Homer, 20% chance of rain, low of 47. Winds light and variable, and tomorrow in Homer, it's going to be a beautiful day. 66, sunny skies, winds west-northwest, 10 to 15 miles per hour. And if you're heading up to the big city, it's the Anchorage right now, 65 degrees, fair skies. They'll pop up a couple more degrees to 67 for their high. Winds west, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight in Anchorage, low of 51, 10% chance of rain, partly cloudy skies, winds light and variable. And tomorrow in Anchorage, they're going to break 70. Looks like they might get up to 71. 71 is their high tomorrow. 10% chance of rain, winds west 5 to 10 miles per hour. Well, today is Monday, the 13th of July. The sun rose at 5:31 a.m. and it will set tonight at 11 o'clock p.m., giving us 17 hours and about 30 minutes of daylight. And we will have lost about 2 minutes and 57 seconds of daylight. But the good news is that the sun is going to rise again tomorrow at 5:32 a.m. Our record high was 79, or is 79 in 2003, and a record low 38 in 1927. If you're heading out onto the water, let's take a look at your marine forecast for the North Gulf Coast, including the Kodiak Island waters and the Cook Inlet. A 1,004 millibar low, that is 220 nautical miles south of Middleton Island, will move to 140 nautical miles southeast of Middleton Island at 1,000 millibars tonight. That low is going to weaken and then move on into the eastern Gulf Tuesday night. For the west of the Barren Islands, including Kamishaka Bay, today a northeast wind to 15 knots with seas at 3 feet. Tonight, southwest wind to 15 knots with seas at 3 feet. And tomorrow, west wind of 20 knots with seas at 5 feet. For the Barren Islands east, there's a gale warning tonight. We've got a northeast wind to 20 knots, increasing to 30 knots in the afternoon with seas at 8 feet. And then tonight, the wind's going to pick up to 35 knots from the north with seas at 11 feet. And tomorrow, northwest wind of 20 knots with seas at 10 feet. For Marmot Island to Sitkanak, small craft advisory today and tomorrow. Right now, we've got a northeast wind to 15 knots, except north of 15 knots. That's north of Dangerous Cape, with seas at 7 feet. Tonight, a north wind of 30 knots with seas at 9 feet. And tomorrow, a northwest wind of 20 knots, becoming southwest in the afternoon with seas at 9 feet. For Chiniac Bay today, a north wind of 15 knots with seas at 3 feet and rain. Tonight, north wind of 15 knots with seas at 3 feet. And tomorrow, west wind of 10 knots with seas at 3 feet. For Marmot Bay today, north wind of 10 knots, increasing to 15 knots in the afternoon with seas at 3 feet. Tonight, north wind of 10 knots with seas at 2 feet, and tomorrow, west wind of 15 knots with seas at 3 feet. For the Shelikof Strait today, northeast wind of 15 knots with seas at 4 feet. Tonight, northeast wind of 15 knots in the evening, becoming variable of 10 knots with seas at 3 feet. And tomorrow, southwest wind of 20 knots with seas at 3 feet, building to 5 feet in the afternoon. Let's check out the tide table. Well, we got a low tide coming up in the Kodiak District at 2:20 p.m. of 2.02 feet. That's a lot of twos. And then a high tide tonight at 9:07 p.m. of 7.09 feet. Over on the west side in Uganic Bay, we got a low tide coming up at 3:07 p.m. of 4.06 feet. And a high tide tonight at 9:30 p.m. of 11.83 feet. All right, we got a brand spanking new fish and game announcement. Let's pull that up.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 7, date issued July 11th at 10 a.m. There will be an 81-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Monday, July 13th, until 9 p.m. Thursday, July 16th in the following areas: in the Outer Iakulik and Outer Karlik sections of the Southwest Kodiak District, the Northwest Kodiak District, except for the Kijewiak Bay, Terror Bay, Inner Uganic Bay, and Zacher Bay sections, will remain closed. The Afognak District, except for the Iqaluit Bay, Inner and Outer Katoy Bay sections, will remain closed. The Northeast Kodiak District, the Eastside Kodiak District, except for the Inner Ugak Bay section, will remain closed. And the Cape Alatak, Humpy Dead Man, Alatak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alatak District. There will be a 57-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Monday, July 13th, until 9 p.m. Wednesday, July 15th, in the Mainland District. As previously announced, the following areas remain open until further notice: the Spirit and Bay Special Harvest Area or Telrod Cove. Until further notice, in that portion of the Northwest and Southwest Kodiak District, south of the latitude of Cape Kuliak, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse hang gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Short notice in-period closures may occur for seine fisheries in the seaward zones of the North Shelikof Strait area as designated in the North Shelikof Strait Sockeye Salmon Management Plan. Closure announcements may occur at 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., noon, 2 p.m., 5 p.m., or 8:30 p.m. on VHF Channel 6. Other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart and detailed in Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations. And statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorder phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
All right. We actually have time for a couple of community announcements. Let's take a look at the community bulletin board and see what's going on. Well, nominating petitions for the 2-3 year city council seats are available in the city clerk's office. For more information, give them a call at 486-8636. There's a Caregiving 101 webinar. When does forgetting become a disease? Have you ever walked into a room and forgotten why? We encounter so many changes as we grow older, including changes with our memory. This class starts the discussion by distinguishing between what is normal aging and what is not. Learn about the different types of memory and, if there is a concern, how to facilitate conversations with your doctor and your family. The webinar is Tuesday, July 21st from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. It is free to attend, but you do want to register. For more information or registration assistance, contact Joan Adams at jadams@alzalaska.org, or give Joan a call at 907-452-2277. Let's see what's going on at the Kodiak Public Library this week. Well, Thursday, July 16th at 3 p.m., the Public Library will host the Zoom Room Book Club. Meet up online to discuss what you've read, watched, or listened to from print to podcast. Send an email to Lori at lmadsen@city.kodiak.ak.us to receive a Zoom invitation. It's not too late to sign up for the library's summer reading program. Use Beanstack to log reading minutes and summer activities and earn prizes. Go to www.kodiak.beanstack.org to sign up. All ages are welcome. And the Alutiiq Museum, upcoming events this Saturday at 11 a.m., Craft Saturday Online. Alutiiq Mask Carving with Derek Chia. Watch a tutorial video and learn to carve an Alutiiq-inspired mask out of Dove soap. Video will be uploaded on Facebook and the website at 11 a.m. Wow, out of Dove soap. That sounds awesome. And I can finish up some more updates on the fishing. The stocked king runs are pretty much non-existent. Just a couple of fish have been seen to date with almost no catches reported. Fish and Game staff will be out there on the Saloni, American, and Olds rivers collecting stock through the end of the month. Dollies are thick. Dollies are in thick. That's interesting. And most of roadside rivers now, great dolly fishing over at the Busky if you want to grab a dolly or two. Over in the, out in the salt water, king salmon fishing unexpectedly became excellent this weekend. King salmon catches were great, with the main reports of limits being caught and fish ranging from 15 to 30 pounds. Hot spots were Buoy 4, the Fingers, and Chiniac. Coho are being caught as well, with catches picking up over the weekend. Lots of anglers are reporting catching coho, though fewer than king salmon in the same locations. Ugak Island has been a recent hot spot, in addition to, of course, Buoy 4 and Chiniac. Halibut fishing continues to be steady, with fish being caught in shallower water. That's about 80 to 120 feet. Fish in the 40 to 80 pound range have been common, and ling cod fishing has also been excellent. For those with Coast Guard base access, the pond on Nyman's Peninsula, or Lily Pond, sometimes as it's called, often has great fishing. Anglers report double-digit catches right now, though large fish are rarely encountered. It's easy to fish from shore, or while waiting, or even with a float tube. All right, thanks for listening to the Midday Report and Island Messenger. We got Spotlight coming up next.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT. Two times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the Midday Report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.